2025. Allahumma shaitan al-ain al-jin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Abul Qasim Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Wa ala alihi tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'asumin. Amma ba'd. After discussing the wajibat and trying to gain an understanding of what wajibat and taklif is, I just want to spend a few days in relationship to the subject of prayer and salat and namaz. In the month of Ramadan, obviously, we speak of ibadat, we speak of amal, we speak of worship, and when we speak of worship, we see that the most important worship is namaz or salat, prayer. And the issue that has been raised by people is that how do we make our prayers acceptable? Because it is said in hadith that if you make a two-rakat prayer, a two-rakat prayer that is accepted and qubool by Allah, then Allah will send you to Jannah, to heaven. The fact is that how do you make your prayers by which it can be accepted in the eyes of Allah? How to make acceptable prayers? Because obviously, you don't want to go through life praying and at the end, all the hard work that you did in praying and every day that you prayed and you were good, but at the end, you find out that it's not accepted by Allah. It's not accepted by Allah, then obviously that would be a letdown. It would be a big shock to learn that your prayers haven't been accepted. So how does one make a prayer that is accepted by Allah? I just want to mention certain secrets and certain different methods that you can use to make sure that your prayer is accepted. So that when you pray in the right way, knowing what you're doing. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, this, in the next 1, 2, 3 days, inshallah, you know, we will see, you know, how far it reaches, but I want to explain this so that inshallah, when you pray, you will get a better understanding of what is prayers, inshallah, and it will help you to make your prayers accepted. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
One of the things that we learn about prayer at the beginning of my speech is the fact that Allah has made salat, He has made prayer a very key component in solving the problems in your life. I mentioned that Allah Himself says in the Quran, As-salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Prayer is what makes you or keeps you away from evil. From evil. This is what makes you stay away from evil. So if a person is doing something wrong, if a person is having a problem, if you see that he's consistently always involved in some sort of wrong, then the first thing that he should do is examine his prayers, examine his namaz to see, is there a problem with my namaz? Because the first problem comes when you pray, when your prayer is incorrect or you are not giving its due proper attention. And when that happens, you see, any problem that comes to you, if you lose your job, just look at it and see, is my namaz okay? If you're having a hard time paying your bills, look at your fact. At first, when you go through the checklist of things, the first thing to check on your list is your prayer, your salat. If there's something wrong with that, then blame your prayer for it. If there's nothing wrong with that, then you can go and see what other reason is there. What other reason is there, you can see it in another way. But the first thing you check, whenever any problem occurs to you, is see whether your prayer is incorrect. Whether you have me doing it right. First thing to check is that. And when your prayer is correct, then you can go to other things and check them. But the first thing to check is your prayer, my friend. That's why Allah said, "Salatu tanaan al-fahishah wa munkar." If there's fahisha, if there's munkar, if there's problems that are happening, if you're involved in wrong, if something wrong happened to you, something bad happened to you, first thing, the first reason might be your prayer. That's how important it is. Right? So, people, when we have an idea, we say that if you're good, then you pray. You see, alhamdulillah, if you're good, then you will pray. See, this is a wrong statement. It's incorrect to say that. In fact, it's wrong to say that. When you're good, you pray. The right way of saying it, you pray, then you will become good. Pray and then become good. If you pray, prayer will take care of the rest. Everything else, you'll see your namaz and salat will take care of it. People came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they told him, they did ghibat. You know, and this was ghiba, backbiting that was done to help someone. So, they told the Prophet that one of the youth who prays behind you, one of the youngsters who prays behind you, he repeats this mistake he makes, this sin he makes. He does this sin all the time. Whatever sin it was, you know. He said that he prays behind you and he makes this mistake all the time. And this is in him. We see this flaw in him. We see this ayib in him. So Rasulullah, he said, he asked them, so he prays behind me? He said, yes, he prays behind you. Well then, let him be. So why let him be? He says, because the prayer itself will fix him. The prayer has so much power that it has the ability to fix us, to make us better. That's what prayer is meant for, to make us better. It's not meant that when we become better, then we will pray. This is the wrong attitude to have. No, the prayer is what makes you better. If you pray, then the idea is that just the prayer itself will make you better. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, when you think of a good prayer, I'll just ask you, what do you think of it as? Meaning, what in your mind is a good prayer? Good salat. Why? Because a lot of times people have this view that a good namaz and a good prayer is that when you are crying from the beginning to the end, and there is a direct relationship with Allah. You're giving your salam to Allah. You're receiving the salam from Allah. And so forth, if you have this sort of situation in your prayer, then alhamdulillah, what a great prayer it is. And the fact is that namaz, salat, prayer has nothing to do with any of these things. It has nothing to do with any of these things. You cry in prayer or not, this and that, his acceptance has nothing to do with this. How do you pray? You close your eyes and you're like trying to concentrate. That's nothing to do with this, my friends. What is a good prayer? What is an acceptable prayer? That's what I want to explain to you. Our conceptions of things have been incorrect. that we don't know what is the right prayer, what is a good prayer. How do I know that this prayer I made is good or not, is acceptable or not? How do I know that? The idea is that, I pray when I, feel like praying, when I enjoy praying. You know, you see that a lot of people have said, I enjoyed my prayers there. I enjoyed my prayers there. I enjoy these prayers. The issue is that if you enjoyed those prayers, maybe that's not a good prayer then. Prayers are not made to be enjoyed. Namaz is not made to be enjoyed. That is the wrong concept of namaz. I told you before that anything that you enjoy, it means that you're doing it because you want to do it, not because Allah has sent you to do it. Explain that in the wajibat and taklif. So when you enjoy and you feel like praying, no, that's not why you pray. You pray when you don't enjoy it, you go forward, you pray. Let that prayer, the idea of prayer is not that you enjoy it, you do it because you enjoy it. The idea of prayer is that you go ahead and do it and let that prayer discipline you and make you better. Let that make you better. When you approach prayer, why are you approaching prayer? To enjoy it or to get disciplined by it or to be trained by it? My friends, at our level, the first level that we are at, the prayer is meant to do ta'deeb. Prayer is meant to do ta'deeb, to train us, to discipline us, to make us a human being. That's what prayer is meant for us. So we pray. We need to understand that. Send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, if you have been, like for example, anyone who has watched movies, army movies or anything like that, you will see that when you go to the army as a private, when you enter the army as a trainee, you're training to be in the army, the first thing they do is that they put you through drills, right? Those of you who have been in the army would know that, right? If you've been in the army, they will say that first thing you need to do is drills of how to have discipline. You know, for example, when you see an officer, you salute him. Stand up in attention and salute him. And they teach that to you and they emphasize that to you. Listen, this is how you do it. Stand up, salute. You salute them. Right? This is how you do it. And they emphasize that. Now, for example, if I get to know one of the officers, he's my friend, you know, or he's my relative. You know, he's my aunt's son. So, and he's the officer. So now, since I know him, obviously I take the advantage of that and say, hey, you know what? He's my friend. He's my cousin. I can hang out with him. You go to his office, you put your feet on the table, this and that. If you start acting like that you're so close to him, become so informal with him, right away he will tell you, stand up, attention. I'm your cousin, your friend, we're hanging out here. He said, listen, you can be my friend when we go to the bar. But here, when you are in the office in the army, you stand up in attention. Why this strictness? They ever pay attention? Why this strictness is there? I mean, is it just because they have some sort of convention and they want us to do these things? My friends, I want you to understand why Allah has made so much rules in prayers. If you look at it, the biggest book of fiqh we have is prayer. Why so much rules in prayer? Why so much strictness in prayers? Just like you go to the army, you're drilled to be that disciplined. You're drilled to be that disciplined that when an officer enters your salute, you know, stand up, attention. And you're like, there's no need for doing this. You know, we can hang out. We can, have a more convenient relationship. Why this strictness for? And there's a reason behind this strictness. I want you to understand the wisdom behind this strictness. When they do in the army, you know why they do that? They will make you follow everything, that you have to listen to each and everything they say. Do not think for yourself. Just do what the officer is telling you to do. Why is that? Because a time will come. A time will come when you will have to choose between the officer's orders and your own desires. A time will come when there will be a situation in the war where now you will have to either listen when the officer will say, go and attack, and you will see a hail of bullets coming towards you. Now, if at that point you doubt the command of your officer, then the whole army will suffer. Just so that you pay attention to the orders of the commanders at that level where you go so high, and at that level that you listen to what the officer is saying, they start your discipline right from the start, and they say, no, everything the officer said, get used to doing it. Get used to doing it. Because when the time will come, you will need this discipline to listen to your officer. You will need that discipline to listen to your officer. Allah also has made salat. Allah has made this rules of namaz so strict. And why did He make them strict? So that He can discipline us, so that we can become disciplined. Allah, why are you doing this? Because a time will come when shaitan will attack you. And at that point, when you're under the assault of shaitan, then this discipline will be necessary to save you at that point. If you don't have this discipline from now, then also when shaitan attacks you, you will not listen to me. I'm training you to listen to me from now. This is the training you're getting in prayers. See the training Allah is giving us. What kind of training it is? He says, listen to me, stand up, you pray. Now let me take, I'll take you to some of the rules of prayers. The rules of prayer, so that you understand where this is, inshallah, from the namaz itself and the rules of prayers itself. Salawat. When you pray, you'll see that at the time you stand up, where are you looking? You see, everything here in prayer is made to make you disciplined. To make you disciplined. It's teaching us something. When you stand up in prayer, where are you looking? Where is the mustahab to look? Okay, place of sajda, alhamdulillah. When you go to ruku, where do you look? At your feet. You see, when you stand up, you look at the place of sajda. When you go in ruku, now Allah doesn't say, look at the place of sajda. He says, look at your feet, in between your feet. Allah, why is that? Do you understand this? Allah is saying, listen, when you are standing up, the angle of your eye, when you are standing in front of something who is bigger than you, stronger than you, higher than you in rank, your eyes should be lowered in front of him. If you go in ruku and still keep on looking at the place of sajda, then your eyes will become higher, and the respect and the honor that is deserved to Allah will be lower. That's why Allah says, keep the same angle as you are standing up as you are in ruku. Of your eyes to your body, go down. And then when you go in sitting position, now where do you look? Where do you stop to look? At the place of sajda or in your lap? And friends, it's mustahab to see your lap, not the place of sajda. When you are sitting down, you look at your lap. And this is what's mustahab. So now you're looking at your wife. Why is that? Because the angle of respect is being maintained throughout the prayer. So that you're looking down and not looking up. This is the maintenance of discipline, is teaching you that, listen, know who you're standing in front of. Do you know who you're standing in front of? First, stand up with respect. Stand up with discipline. My friends, the first issue of prayer, of making it right, is what? Is it that you have khushu and khudu in prayers, and have Allah's thoughts in prayers, and have, you know, all of these emotions in prayers where you're crying and you have this direct line with Allah? Is that more important, or making sure that your qira'at is right more important? Making sure that you're observing the rules of prayer, that's more important. Let me ask you in another way so it becomes easy for you to answer me. And understand this. Does your prayer become batil by not following the rules, or does it become batil by not crying? Then if prayer becomes batil by not following the rule, then it means the rules of prayer are more essential than the crying and emotions in prayer. The rules of prayer, to observe the rules, that is more essential. Because if that's not done, then you know what? It doesn't matter how well you did your prayer. It doesn't matter how well you did your prayer. There's one brother, you know, he made his Fajr prayer, you know, in the Haram, one of the Imams. He made the prayer and he came back and said, "Maulana, you know, that was a great prayer in the Haram. You know, I was so much engrossed in prayer. I was so much attached to my prayer, and my mind was so much into Allah that I lost count of the rakah, and I just prayed next rakah just to be good." Your prayer is batil. But how can that be? I was so attached in prayer, there was so much emotion in prayer, I was crying also. He said, doesn't matter how much emotions you have, how much you cry, if you don't follow the rules, it doesn't matter. Any of these things don't matter. Amen. The more important thing is prayer, is the rules of prayers, observing the rules. Observing the rules of prayers. It is there to teach us discipline, to make sure that we are following orders. That's what it's for. Prayers are not there for you to enjoy them. Really, they're not there for you to enjoy them. Allah didn't ask you, okay, you pray because you enjoy them. And don't teach that to others also. Because usually what happens is you tell that to your child, he will learn soon that you are a liar. I mean, when you speak to your child about prayer, you tell him that, son, listen, you know, this is difficult, this is hard, you know, you need to just, you know, do it. Right? Don't let him know. Son, watch me, how I love prayers, how much I love Allah, and how much attached I am to prayer, this and that. Don't say things like that, because you know that's not the truth. The reason you're praying is not because of your attachment to Allah, or your ishq, or your love, or your heart, any of these things. The reason if you're praying is because you want to save your behind from the hellfire. If the hellfire wasn't there, if the threat of hellfire wasn't there, all of us would not be praying, no matter how long. No matter how long we live here. This, all this talk about love and ishq and irfan, this is nothing for us. This is not the issue why we pray. We pray because we want to get disciplined. We want to become better. Allah, I want to become better. I am nothing. I am a nobody. Allah says, pray and you will become better. Go ahead and pray and become better. See, this is the idea of prayer. Prayer is to discipline us. Not that, you know what, I like prayer, that's why I'm praying. No, that's not why you pray, my friends. That's not why you pray. See, a lot of times you don't know which prayer will be accepted. You know, a story I'll mention about Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was arrested in 1963, he was arrested by the Shah's police. And he was being taken. And the time they arrested him is right before Fajr. He was making his tahajjud, salatul layl. They came into his house, raided his house, arrested him, took him. He said, listen, it's time for prayer. Let me make wudu. They said, no, can't be. He said, but you know, okay, you know what, I won't pray here. At least let me make wudu so I can pray in the car. They said, no, can't be. He said, okay, I mean, you know, at least let me make hayamum if we don't have time. He said, no, can't be. And then he said, listen, stop the car on the way. I won't even get out. I'll just lower my hands to the ground and make hayamum so I can pray. It's time for prayer. You know? And they won't let him get out. In that situation, you know, from the way he was heading, the Qibla was behind him. And he made that fajr in that situation with the Qibla behind him. In the car, they would not stop, they would not let him do anything. In that situation, he made that fajr. And later he said in his life, that when I look back at all my prayers, I look at that prayer. Maybe that is the prayer that Allah has accepted from me. Maybe that is the prayer where my heart really wasn't in it because I didn't have wudu, I didn't have anything. I didn't pray the way I want to pray. Every day I pray the way I want to pray. But that day Allah made me pray the way He wanted me to pray. Understand, my friends, prayer is not for our enjoyment. Prayer is to discipline us, to make us better, to make us stronger. The intention behind prayer is not to, you know, for example, a lot of people say, oh, you know what, I enjoy praying. I prayed and there was, you know, I enjoyed it so much. It was a great prayer, a good prayer. I enjoyed it so much. He said, no, prayer is not for your enjoyment. Is that what it's for? The prayer is not for your enjoyment. You just keep on praying. First, at our level, you just keep on praying. You won't enjoy it. You keep on praying. Let Allah enjoy your prayers. That's the key. That's the key. Let Allah enjoy your prayers. Let Him watch you and say, watch my servant praying. Let Him get the fun of watching you and the enjoyment that He gets of watching you pray. He is the one who's enjoying. And when you pray and discipline yourself, then you see, after making this hard life of making sure that you're always making prayers on time, then Allah might gift you that tawfiq of having attention, focus, and love in prayers. Anyone who says, oh, I enjoy my prayers at this level, he has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't know what prayer is. My friends, only after a life of praying on time, and a whole life goes by, then Allah will give you the tawfiq of attention. The attention we get in prayer, the focus we get in prayer, you cannot acquire it. Allah has to give it to you. It's a gift from Allah. And He gives that gift to the person who keeps on going through this drill day in and day out until he gets so tired of it. And after all that tiredness, he still keeps on doing it. Then Allah says, he deserves attention. He deserves my love. This is the actuality of prayer. Prayer is what? It's not that, okay, I go and pray one thing and I'm doing minnat on Allah. You know, Allah, I've made this prayer, now you need to give something in return. This is not the prayer, huh? Really, prayer is what? Prayer is when you keep on doing it so much that at the end of the day, when you see that all this jihad that you did, in order to make sure that you do it on time every day, then Allah might give you the gift of attention, gift of tawajjuh, gift of hub, gift of enjoyment and lazzat in your prayers. It comes afterwards. Allah gives this to you as a gift. But the first thing is for us to get disciplined by prayers. Let namaz, let salat discipline you first, my friends. Tomorrow I'll explain more, inshallah, in regards to this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and blessing to be on the right path. Wisdom to understand His guidance, the Hisn Sri Prince of Imam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat alaikum.